allow me to be dramatic for a second. Let me get real close to the screen.
Introduce myself. My name is Ho.
Whoever zoomed in on Musa Diabate throwing hands after like the handshake line, you are a loser. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr. In front of me are my two good friends, Calvin McGowan. I'm fumbling, baby. And Philip Dixon. Guys, go ahead and let the people hear your voice.
Once again, everybody, I'm Calvin McGowan. It's always a pleasure to be here. And we were talking about the All-Star break before Alan just felt compelled to throw that thing in there about the zoom in.
What's up? My name is Philip Dixon, a.k.a. TWA, Teeny Weeny Afro. And, you know, I'm here just representing on the Minecraft things of life.
All right, before we get started today, guys, we got new merch, man. We got t-shirts brought to you by Leveled Up Productions. You know, you can go ahead and follow them at level_up. We also got the new hoodie. It's mad warm, almost cursed. That's how warm it is, yo. But let's go ahead.
It doesn't only come in white, though, because we understand how dirty those things can get. So it can come in other colors as well.
If you are worried about, you know, white things getting dirty, stop being a 12-year-old. And I do understand that things do happen.
That's me.
Wash your clothes.
I specifically don't buy all white shoes because I'm nervous. I've been nervous since I was, my mom was like, mom, in middle school, was like, we should get you all white shoes. And I was like, sorry, I know what the deal is. I can't keep those white. And till this day, I have that exact same mentality because one day I'm in the Midwest. I might walk outside and it says it's not going to rain. And then it rains. I can't help that. It is what it is.
Oh, it's clothes. Get a new pair.
I'm a teacher. We don't ball like that. I'm get new pairs.
No. You ain't got $5 to go get you another t-shirt?
You can be surprised.
Damn.
T-shirt. Okay. We still need your $5?
I didn't say that. I just said you can go get another t-shirt after the t-shirt that you spent more money on.
Are you still plugging? Are you still plugging?
No, we're done.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's bring it. Let's get started with, let's talk about All-Star Weekend here. Like, we'll get into some other stuff here in a second.
Ooh, do we have to?
Yes.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm. I just got a few things to mention about All-Star Weekend. One, the format change is the best thing that ever happens at All-Star Weekend. We all grew up in a time where they tried to figure out a format change for, like, the dunk contest, and it never worked, really. But the fact that they actually did a format change for the actual game itself, and it did work, and we've seen other All-Star games not work nearly as well. Baseball works well because, you know, if you win in baseball, you get a home field advantage for the World Series. But in, like, let's say, football, it is atrocious, right? So props up for basketball for changing things for the betterment of the game itself, so people don't feel like they waste time, especially after the dunk contest that we had this year. But I want to specifically talk about that game formatting.
Okay, real quick before we do, though, because, like, it's that the Elam ending is the best thing to happen to the All-Star game. But, okay, so how are the other events? Because I had technical difficulties.
I'm going to be real with you. I didn't have, like, the juice to watch any of it. Like, because of playoffs, I've been, like, burnt out from, like, high school basketball. So I didn't really, like, take the time to watch unimportant games. Like, the All-Star game was entertaining. Myles Garrett is a monster of a human. Like, that, he does not belong, like, if you're a regular-sized person, don't stand next to Myles Garrett. That's not fair for you. Like,
I saw him windmill, and I watched my phone and got out the way. I was like, this don't make no sense. That muscle mass, like, how athletic you gotta be?
That man is huge.
Humongous.
Like it.
But that's what you got most out of the weekend?
No, look. Okay, so somebody won the celebrity game. Right. I don't know who that person is. Like, maybe because I was at Dave and Buster's while it was happening. Why I just didn't pick up.
I had no idea who that was. They showed it. I was like, who is this man?
Who did what now?
The one the celebrity exactly. All-Star MVP thing. I didn't know.
I don't know. Like, I only caught the tail end of that one too.
Look, and it's been days since. I have not heard anything about him. I didn't see like a notification pop up from like any of like Bleacher Report, sports, nothing. It was like he won, cool. Old girl that looked like MC Light, like she's very pretty. I don't know what else she does. I think she's an actor. That's cool. The All-Star Rookie or like Rising Stars Challenge. I really thought that was just going to be like a basketball game. I thought I would have enough time to like watch the second half, and it was over in an hour, and they were out here shooting floaters at some point and people were missing. And it was like, I don't care about this. Can we get like a score or something? Like who, like just let them play. Like the whole point of this is to kind of like show that the young talent in the NBA, what they can do in, you took that away from us. Like it doesn't make like full sense. Like we got one highlight out of the entire weekend. Jalen Suggs to call it.
Here's my thing. When it comes to the All-Star Weekend, a lot of the times they're gonna be duds, right? The lows of the All-Star Weekend can be very low. But when you see the highs, that's when it's like a game changer. So, for instance, the dunk contest. You had plenty of people on social media this year going, oh, the dunk contest is trash. The dunk contest keeps going down year for year to year to year. And I'm like, you know, the dunk contest is good once every 6 years, possibly. Possibly. At least once. It's not good every year by any means, right? You had a stretch where they were pretty good. Then you had a long stretch they weren't good. Then you had 2016. Then you had a stretch they weren't good again. I wouldn't be surprised if next year it was good again. But 2016 it made up for 3 years, 110%. The Dwight Howard years, Nate Robinson years, made up for a lot of those years. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm okay with every year not being the most spectacular dunk contest. But when the dunk contest is spectacular, it's the highlight of any All-Star Weekend event in any sport in North America. You know what I mean? So I just don't come out with the expectation that it's going to be great every single year, every single event. I don't have that. But through social media, I'm seeing that people tend to have that understanding or wanting it to be that way. And that's just unrealistic. But once again, you know, don't complain, because if you get a Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon type dunk contest again, then that'll make up for another 3-4 years. Whatever. The highs are highs and the lows are lows. It is what it is.
I think the thing with the dunk contest, though, is that, like, you know, as dudes come out with like new and different and more exciting dunks, it just gets progressively harder to wow people.
Yeah, it's harder to wow people, but also, I will say this. The trend of I'm a superstar, but I'm not going to be in a dunk contest hindered the dunk contest as an event. Why? Cool. For instance, Derrick Jones did a lot of great dunks. Who cares about Derrick Jones, right? A lot of the dunk contest is star quality and star appeal to get you to watch, right? So the first person I remember who was a superstar, who was like a legit high flyer, who just said no, was LeBron James, right? And LeBron James, like either the last Dwight year or the year before this one, LeBron was in the back going, I'm going to see you next year. He's a crowd. I'm going to be there next year. You doing it this year, LeBron? No. He was the first person that did that. But if you look up before then, almost every single superstar high flyer had been in the dunk contest at least once, maybe twice. You know what I mean? But then, but like, who cares about the people who aren't stars? You know what I mean? It's not only just about dunking, right? So like this year, if John Morant's in it, changes everything. Truly, if John Morant is in that, he does a basic dunk that we still haven't basic dunk. He goes out there and does a 360 windmill, right? It's elevated because he's John Morant.
Y'all are ungrateful. I'm gonna be real with y'all. You were ungrateful. Like, at the end of the day, with a dunk contest, because it is a dunk contest. Like, have you ever seen like the McDonald's All American game dunk contest? Yeah. It is pretty good every single year. You don't know most of those kids until that night, for the most part, unless you do high school basketball. You don't know those kids. It is entertaining regardless. Like, they do not have like a giant name or fan base attached to them. They are going to make highlights and it's going to go viral every single time. Just enjoy the dunk.
Yeah, like, but I'll say this.
Some of the game's best dunkers are not the most known people. Like, when we think of superstar high flyers that have like done really good in the dunk contest, please tell me if I'm wrong. We got MJ, we got Neek, we got Vince Carter.
Wait, say it one more time.
We got MJ.
No, like the entire thought.
You got to go back and listen to it like everybody else, because I said a lot.
I'm talking about like, why are you naming these people?
Okay, we have the superstar, like high flyers that you're talking about. I can only think of three. If we want to go back farther, I can think of four. We got Dr. J.
Uh huh.
We got Michael Jordan.
Uh huh.
We got Dominique Wilkins.
Okay.
And we got Vince Carter.
Okay. Now, superstar?
Superstars.
Superstar. Okay.
Because everybody else who has won has been like star to role player. That was entertaining, except like Dwight Howard.
Vince Carter was a star, superstar, because of that dunk contest. He was a star beforehand. The dunk contest made Vince Carter a superstar. Let's not misconstrue timelines, right?
I'm not old enough to debate this.
Tracy McGrady worked for stars. Then, you know, the dunk contest took took Vince Carter specifically for the scenario from star to superstar for like 3 years, and then he went back down to star, right? But you know, you've had plenty of people in it. Like, yeah, they're stars. You just need to be a star and you're fine. For a lot of years, especially the most recent years, we haven't even had stars. We've had straight role players, right? Look at this. The best dunk contest of our lives, point blank, was 2016.
Yeah.
Point blank. There are stars. That was it. Those two were just stars. That's all you need. You don't need a superstar. But we're getting less.
First thing, Aaron Gordon was a star.
For Orlando, for that, yeah, 100%. Earlier on, not including the last 3 years, earlier on in his Orlando tenure, 100% he was the star of Orlando because of the ridiculously athletic things he could do. Zach LaVine, the exact same thing. Remember, Zach LaVine ended up getting traded. But guess what? He was a star. He wasn't a superstar, he was just a star. So, you know what I mean? And so, that's all
you've been very loose with star. Like dudes that were solid on bottom feeders.
You want to, just out of curiosity, y'all want a list of champions?
Please.
All right. Going back to the first one in 84, Larry Nance, Dominique Wilkins, Spud Webb, MJ, Kenny Walker, Dominique Wilkins, D. Brown, Cedric Sabalas, Harold Miner, Isaiah Ryder, Harold Miner again, Britt Barry, Kobe Bryant, Vince Carter, Desmond Mason, Jason Richardson, Fred Jones, Josh Smith, Nate Robinson, Gerald Green, Dwight Howard, Robinson again, Blake Griffin, Jeremy Evans, Terrence Ross, John Wall, Zach LaVine, Glenn Robinson III, Donovan Mitchell, Hamidou Diallo, Derrick Jones Jr., Anfernee Simons, and Obi Toppin most recently.
Now, let's not act like you didn't say some names, because outside the ones you said, Dwight, Nate Robinson, stats don't matter. Nate Robinson was
a fan favorite. He is a fan favorite. Fair. We all love Nate Robinson.
Superstar.
Yes.
Strictly through you know, his the fandom that he accumulated, right? That's it. Superstar purely based on that. But even that has a certain quality that Glenn Robinson III doesn't bring out. You know what I mean?
D. Brown?
Yes. Dwight Howard?
That was in 91.
Let's not act like Josh Smith wasn't that guy at that time.
I'll give you that.
Josh Smith was that. So there are going to be some contextualized superstars, right? Like, there are going to be. I can't speak for anybody of, like, the early 90s and that kind of, in that era. I can't speak for that because I wasn't around. Because there might have been the Josh Smith of that time period, right? Like, we all know Josh Smith because of the dunks and the Hawks and, you know, since he was with the Atlanta Celtics, right? But that might have been the same thing back then. I'm not going to even assume that, though. I'm talking about the ones that I personally know. And there were some names post-2000 that was really thrown out there. But then you started getting towards post-Dwight years. And it starts getting very iffy very quickly.
Apparently Ray Allen participated in one. I'm just looking at, like, all the participants.
He had a little 360 one-hander. I remember that one. But
back when we were in diapers.
We were in diapers. Phil's 30.
Okay, so he was walking around a little bit.
What year was this?
97.
Right, I was 3. I was in Pampers. But, you know, the junk contest, just all I'm saying is, last thing, the lows are low, but the highs last for years. That 2016 lasted for a couple years, for sure.
Still
the Dwight Howard ones lasted a couple years. The telephone booth and Superman is in the building. And the Blake Griffin one, that didn't last for that long. But he was so hyped up during that time period that it felt like it did. You know what I mean? In terms of athleticism. So that's all I got to say. That's all I got to say about that one right there. So I'm going to try to debate nobody about the dunk contest. It's a waste of my time.
Okay. Moving right along. You wanted to talk about the All-Star game.
I mean, formatting was good. It's fantastic. They changed that. They're like, this year.
The second year they've done it like this?
They said with this format, like 5-0. That's what they kept saying. It was interesting. This is what I found kind of interesting and kind of funny at the same time, which it shouldn't be. They're talking. They showed Eric Spoelstra and Monty Williams pregame speeches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, each quarter, the team who won money for their charity, right? And Monty Williams' speech was, I mean, the money that you win legitimately saves a life. So essentially, if you don't win that money, someone dying. That's the way, like, it came to my ears. And I was like, hey, like, if you want to get people to play, like, I guess that's the way to do it. But then, like, so, like, maybe they shouldn't be doing life or death charities, but the concept of it makes sense. They, once again, be very specific on the charity you use.
It was educational based, bro. Like, it was serious, but, like,
I was like,
not directly.
Like, on my bed, popcorn kernels on my chest, watching on my tablet, right? And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, did he really just say that? Like, I'm like, that's kind of wild. And, like, I don't know if everybody's mind went there, but my mind definitely did. And I was like, okay, you want to motivate some players to play hard in the game? Save a life. And it was so they didn't.
But I think it was I think this is, like, the third time they've used the Elam ending now. And I think I remember it was the first time, because even then, like, they all said that thing with, like, for charity and whatever. I'm like, actually, this is this is actually kind of messed up when you think about it. Not like the whole the amount of money we give to charity is dependent on how well you and your team do in a game that does not matter. Like, we could just give the money to charity anyway. Like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, you guys are so moral and like nerdy today. Steph Curry dropped 50 points and made 16 threes. That's it. That's what we're talking about for this All-Star game. Let's have fun. No,
wait, nerds. Look. Why would I want to talk about, oh man, the greatest shooter of all time hit 12 open jump shots. I mean, dead serious. Like, they were playing no defense on him for until the last quarter. Look, so it's like, oh man, the best shooter of all time hit some open jump shots. Crazy. I don't care about that.
Nerd. 16-27,
so,
bro.
I'll say this, right? That, like, it can both be true that, like, Curry hit a bunch of open jumpers and, like, that the All-Star game is still fun because dudes are hitting dunk contest dunks, like, in a game, air quotes, and, like, the elementing makes it interesting at the end, right? Like,
yeah.
They actually play defense against each other, which makes the game interesting because on a certain level, seeing dudes do cool stuff without any body to, without like any defense or anything to push against is less fun than when they do those same things and they put other dudes on posters.
Yeah, because what was it? It was the year where they played the All-Star game in AT&T Stadium in Dallas, where the score was like almost 200 or something. The score got so out of hand that it was like, something need to change. So, like, in the matter, if it was the end of the game, it was just like, something need to change. So, I'm glad that, you know, this format came to be. There are some dogs that make it more than the case, though. Because Giannis and Embiid play hard for absolutely no reason all the time. And I appreciate that. Because you have people that, like, don't know how to play hard if it's not for something, you know what I mean? So I kind of appreciate like the balance of that kind of competitive spirit that was showcased yesterday. But once again, cool. LeBron hit a mid-range jump shot on Zach LaVine in the game.
For the win.
And what's his name? And Steph Curry hit some open jump shots. Cool, you know. Way to do what I expect.
I've been to parties with both of you guys. I'm so glad that neither one of you act like this when we were having fun. Because, boy, you wet blanket. Y'all are wet blankets. Y'all got the... Yeah, I know y'all mics is damp. Y'all are losers today. It's All-Star, bro. Look, like, I know I was down at the beginning just because I ain't want to watch nothing. Like, I was just done. Y'all over here just
look. I really got to see was that fourth quarter. Yeah, I'm not even gonna hard lie to you.
At an All-Star game. Like, shut up.
Did you not like the format?
No. The format is cool. It's a dope format. But I'm okay with them scoring 200 points. In like prior to this, they've always played hard in the last quarter.
Okay.
Or like the last few minutes.
Here you go. Here's an unnerdy thing. Possibly depends on how I say it.
This is going to be nerdy.
Yes. The halftime was too long.
Yes. Yes.
That 55 thing was too long. So a couple things about this. One, I'm trying to watch Euphoria. I'm like, can you hurry this process up? Because I was like, I got to watch. Because like, I'm on Twitter, and I don't want to get no spoilers. But like, the halftime's taking so long that I'm like, I'm going to run to the spoilers. I didn't because I had to put my phone down, but I don't want to put my phone down because you're talking about these 75 players. Secondly, I saw on Twitter, but at the time, I was thinking at the exact same time. The players that weren't there and they had them waving to nobody, what's going on?
That was hilarious.
Who directed
I really thought they would just be an old...
Who directed Scotty to just go? Like, who are you looking at? Who's up there? Who was up there? It was the weirdest thing, but also
they did it in front of like green screen, so like they could have had like a fake background or something. They were like, no, let's just do it on this white.
Yo, also, with the this All-Star game overall kind of, I don't know, the pizzazz, the lights and the glamour behind it really showcase how whack Cleveland is, right? Do you remember Chicago's last year? No, I mean, this serious. Do you remember Chicago's last year?
No,
like, it's All-Star weekend. No, I remember last year, right? Common came out and did the whole introduction. It was dope, right? Like, Common.
No, Common's introduction was trash. Thank you for reminding me of that.
No, it wasn't.
That's probably why I forget. Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Garbage.
It was all right.
I liked it a lot. But listen, but whoever this guy was, I was like, this is, who are these people? Like, and they had, look, and I like Macy Gray singing the national anthem, because I like Macy Gray a lot, actually. But I'm like, who are these people? Like, Cleveland, look, Joe Kino was right the first time, right? That's all I gotta say. But this, but the 75 thing was so long, I clicked off of it 4 different times. And then came back and was still going. I'm like, you just now at the power fours? Like, it was so long. I'm like, but this kind of stuff, you take a picture of, then put in a book. You know what I mean? Like, this kind of stuff, like there's CNN news, and there's news that belongs on C-SPAN. The 75 stuff, that's NBA TV. Right? You said this for the off-season, when there's not actual games going on. Right? When all you're playing is hardwood classics. You don't do this during the season while there's actually things happening. Because I got things to do. When off-season's coming around, I don't got things to do. So I'll watch it. And it's coming from a history major. A guy who has a master's in history. I don't got time for this, though. And also, these dudes are just waving. Some of them don't need to wave no more. Their hands was looking crazy. I'm not gonna lie to you. I've seen a couple thumbs look like they had been dislocated for years. I'm like, this is crazy. But you know what? I'm not gonna talk bad about hands. I'm not gonna talk about bad about hands that were grabbing basketballs in the 1970s. Because the medical advancements weren't great. You know what I mean? So it was interesting though.
Bro, you look, I think the best thing about the NBA 75's like whole approach, outside of like celebrating the players, this is the first time we got to see Bob Cousy. I've never looked up to see if Bob Cousy was like still alive or anything. So to see like Bob Cousy pop up was like, whoa, this is like seeing a leprechaun. It was exactly like seeing a leprechaun for the first time. I was like, did not know you guys existed. Pretty cool.
And you know, they started taking knees and Bob Cousy said, mm-mm, not for me. This ain't my league.
Get out of here, bro.
I can't tell.
I'm joking.
We spent almost 30 minutes on the All-Star game. Well, All-Star weekend that I feel like not all of us fully watched. So let's go ahead and move on to something that I know for a fact we all watched and was so much better, even though it was like a minute and a half compared to 72 hours. my man, Michigan head coach, He ain't throw hands per se. The person who said punch has to like do better on their vocabulary, but he sure mushed that man's face, and I'm not mad at it at all. I don't think anything should happen to him.
Listen, this is all I gotta say about this. When this like been a heated environment, when you are in a heated environment or a situation's heated in some kind of way. If the man that you've been heated with walks past you without looking at you, you don't stop in front of him and put your hands on that person. Because that other person is trying to avoid the conflict. So what you're doing by putting your hands on this man is escalating whatever conflict he's trying to avoid. So people, the wrong kind of people are going to be blaming Howard on this one. You can't blame him. Cause he walked past him. He tried to not even acknowledge him. And I'm like, that's the thing you gotta do. That's literally what I teach my kids. I'm like, if you and somebody have a heated exchange or you aren't messing with somebody, don't confront them in any way. Just ignore them and move on with your day. He was trying to do that exact same thing, but dude stepped over to the side and put his hands on him. I'm like, listen, you put your hands on me in that kind of situation, I'm gonna do the same thing. But
It's one thing to put your hands on, but he grabbed him in the elbow like he was a child. Like, dog, I am
He was also like a foot and a half taller than him too, which is kind of weird. But like
at the bare minimum, he should have slapped his arm. It's like, dog, stop! Don't touch me.
I think this whole thing is gonna end up being, no one's gonna use this word, but about respectability politics, right? You're a head coach. You're supposed to act a certain way. You're supposed to do a certain thing for Michigan. You're making Michigan look this way, and you're making university. No, in a real life situation, if something like this happens, he's not in the wrong. The other guy is. Point blank. Like, I think it's that simple. But you're gonna hear a lot of takes. You have heard a lot. Like, I saw, and I usually like Jay Billis. I usually like him, but his take on this was trash. I was like, he tweeted about it, and I usually like his takes on things, but this was not it, because he's blaming Juwan, and I'm like, you can't do that. But I really think it's about like where you come from. I really do. Like, a certain kind of person and certain kind of people have been in environments to where that is the way to disassociate yourself from a situation. And we've all watched, you know, whether the 5-5, you all watch, he's from scenarios where that's the case. So he did what he's supposed to do, not on a basketball court, but kind of like in the world, you know what I mean? He did what he's supposed to do. And if you know it, you know it. And if you don't, you're going to look at him and go, why'd you hit him? Let's look about what happened first. And then talk about the situation of escalation. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And if we're going to, like, it's because they were pressing with, like, a couple seconds left. And they have their backup players in. Don't have pressure with me over that. Like, you can talk about that in the presser. You got my number. Like, send me an email. I'm like, hey, that was mad childish, bro. Like, it can be straight words. And I do understand that Juwan Howard was like, I'll see you. But that, you leave it as, I'll see you. Especially if he looked angry saying that. It's like, you gotta keep it pushing. I think that's smart for everybody.
As of 38 minutes ago, he got suspended for 5 games. So,
all right. That's better than what Stephen A was trying to do. Stephen A said he should get suspended for the rest of the season. And I was
I've seen things like that too.
Stephen A is so, I want to love the brother because he's HBCU and he all these different reasons, but too many times he says corny things. I'm like, oh, because he has that bag, that money, he works for the corporation. He's wrong. A whole season? I understand at least 5 games. I was probably spending like 1 or 2, to tell the truth, right? But 5 games is 5 games. But he shouldn't have been suspended that much.
Yeah.
Right? I get why the university feels like they need to, but he shouldn't. Because there's more to the situation than it was in for 30 seconds, you know what I mean? And hey, shout out to the players, though, for stepping up, though. I like that. I like that a lot. A lot.
Okay. I guess my feelings are a little different than y'all's. This is going to be awkward for me. This will be fun. Nah, but, like, so, like, I generally agree, and, like, I understand Howard reacting the way he did in this situation, given my understanding of the whole thing. Just Howard was already up, like already hot, and it's probably not a good idea to put your hands on a dude who's already mad at you. That's just ill-advised. But, and granted, you know, I'm glad it was only, what, for 5 games, I think you said?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people on the internet say wild things and also racist things, but we're not getting into that right now. So, like, my general concern with it was just that, okay, so if, so I don't, I've not watched him for every single game, right? But I'm aware, right? He had a similar incident about a year ago. With Maryland, right? What I no, and I'll explain why I'm mentioning this one in a second, but like, I'm also aware, like, in the game they played against Maryland that I got to see this year, I think he ended up getting a tech from a ref for, he was fussing about something. I don't even remember if they were up by like 15, 20 points. And like, my general concern is that, like, if you, is that definitely if he doesn't watch himself at this point, like, whoever, like, if there's somebody who for some reason wants to get rid of him, they will be able to make a legitimate argument that, like, he's, like, temperamental. That, like, there is a pattern of behavior there, right? And, like, I'm not really sure what my point is here.
Good, because you don't got a good one.
You know I'm right, though. Of
respectability politics.
You know I'm right.
We get it, Coach Cal. Like, I know this is like how you gotta go about things.
Like, he's, ooh. It's not about, like, my concern is less about respectability politics and more about just, like, assuming he wants to keep his job, he can't keep he can't keep having these situations, these type of situations occur. That's kind of, let's be real, you know, like, if another one happens, he's probably not gonna be there again.
He'll just have to give it a couple years.
Like,
didn't Bobby Knight throw a chair?
Curse at people
on a regular, and I get it that this is not the same day and age, but like, we have seen some ridiculous stuff out of coaches.
Listen, like, oh, yeah. That is a phenomenal point that I never thought of. Arguably the all-time greatest coach ever that people speak highly about in terms of coaching. In terms of, you know, from peers, from players, all that stuff, was known to be a wild guy in terms of just, like, anger and antics. So, and I don't care about the, you know, it's a different day and age kind of thing. It's what works and what doesn't work. And are you doing your job well or are you not doing your job well? And for this one, it is, hey, get your hands off me. And I guarantee, back in the day, Bob Knight said a lot worse than that. You know what I mean? So it's just
we can find pressers where he said worse than that.
Yes. So it's just like, we can't allow coaches to not be themselves when they are garnering some sense of success. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think every coach isn't going to be the same. Sure, some coaches might be Bill Self, who is, like, the most press-ready guy, right? Some people might be Coach K. And, like, these are very press-ready guys. Guys that, when the cameras come on, they are just ready to be all presentable, essentially. Or we can have people that aren't that way. But why who people aren't that... So, but why should people who aren't that way not be able to succeed in coaching, even if the results are still above average as, like, a play? And they're not being disrespectful to the players. But we're not being disrespectful to some players also. But Juan Howard, we never heard anything about player personnel hating him or things like that too, right? So, you know...
And Calvin, let me get one more thing in there before you say that. You picked Bill Self and Coach K. Now, as Coach K has gotten older, he been a bit of a butthole to, like, young reporters and whatnot who just, like, trying to, like, find their way. And I get it, you old, you cantankerous. But Bill Self and Coach K, have y'all watched their body language on the sideline? Like, them, like, I know they ain't smacking nobody, but they not calm. They not saying pleasantries. And I get putting your hands on is a little bit different, but that elbow grab says a lot. Calvin, go ahead.
Look, all right, I'm not really trying to disagree with you. It's just like, here's the thing. right? At the end of the day, all right, he's working at a white institution, right, with a largely white fan base and, like, dudes in charge that are largely white at the end of the day. And in, you know, out there, like, perception matters, okay? And while I think he's fine, y'all think he's fine, right? At the moment, the perception of a lot of these people of him is not particularly good. And my thing is that ultimately, if, like, he's, for right now, he'll continue to be good. But if these situations continue to pile up, that perception is going to build, and at some point, the perception is going to outweigh the reality of a successful coach.
So are you telling me this could be a when keeping it real goes wrong scenario in a couple years?
If he's not careful, yes. That's exactly what I'm saying.
See, my thing is this. I am not a person. I've learned throughout my life how to contain certain emotions personally. But I'm not one to ever knock somebody. Let's get specific. I'm not ever one to knock a black person in a white space who doesn't do that nearly as well as I do, right? And I understand that for everybody, some people can do it well, some people can do it a little bit, some people aren't well with it. But are you being real or are you being you? And from what I know of his life, literally for me, it's so simple as don't touch a man from the hood. Like, he really grew up in that. He really about that. Don't touch him when he's trying to avoid situation. But, like, I once again, you don't know. This is my whole thing. You don't know everybody's background. I don't care if you're a kid or you're an adult. You don't know how people are going to react to being touched. So, it's like if a referee, right? If a referee is talking to a kid who's playing basketball, and he goes up, the kid's not looking, it's a high-intensity game, the referee is never supposed to touch that kid. Why? Because some kids might go around, some kids might turn around and go, and be okay with it and kind of just stay in their lane. And some kids might turn around and smack you because you don't know what anybody, you don't know what everybody's background is. So we don't know specifically what Juwan Howard's background is. We don't know. But I'm not going to be like, you should have done this. You should be like this. You a black man in a white space. You're going to react how you're going to react. I can't knock you for any kind of reaction you have, personally. That's how I personally feel.
Yeah. And at some point, you got to know who you hired. Like, you know who you hired. This man is professional as he is and as cool as a person as he is. He got some fire to him. He had fire to him when he was in college. He had fire to him when he was...
I don't remember that. People only remember his later years in the NBA. And some of the years of him sitting on the bench in the NBA. Behind the bench, being like a coaching assistant and stuff. People don't remember how, like, he had fire in him. Like,
he had fire on the bench.
An animated player and all kinds of stuff, yeah.
Like, it's 30 years of documentation out here. Read some of it.
Can you imagine in 20 years somebody hires Ron Artest as a coach and expects him to just be like on the bench sitting there twiddling his thumbs?
He'll be there every single game.
But that's an exaggeration. But do you expect a player to just like stop being themselves once they're a coach? No. Players gonna be players. Because their personalities is their personality. You can't really change that. You as a university have to not change the player. You know, you as a university can't change the coach. You should hire the coach you want. Period.
And look, you clearly did. So you got to roll with it. You got to roll with it.
Five games, you might have spent, you good. Let's go.
it's true. A down year anyway. They probably weren't gonna be in the tournament. It is what it is.
Yeah, you said like this. These next five games were could be something where they can get into the tournament or something like that.
No, I said like it. In the grand scheme for them and for him, it probably doesn't matter that much. I'm just saying, like, it'd do him well to, you know, get a better handle on navigating the spaces. That's it.
Yeah. We talked about this for almost 20 minutes, and we did not mention Wisconsin and their staff once. How many times did you guys watch the video?
Like, two or three?
Several?
Okay, I watched the video like 23 times because I wanted to watch a different person every single time because I'm like that type of person. Like, I want to know what everybody
did. The video, I'm doing the same thing.
And I watched like four or five different angles. Like, I want to see what everybody did. Them players did not want no smoke, and I completely understand it. But it was a lot of, once like Michigan got contained, like, some of the players wanted to get a little bit more hype, and it was like, I'm not going to go in on you because you're a kid, but you got to cut that out. That is loser behavior, and that is for a subsection of people that if we decided to actually fight, you probably don't want it. And your Wisconsin's coaching staff did a lot of egging. A lot of egging. Like almost every little fire that popped up, that coaching staff, and we're not talking about them today. A lot of it. Like, this needs to be like a full discussion of not just the man who, like, no, the man who has the biggest name. This isn't just a discussion about the man who has the biggest name, and we all know. John, Jack, Tyler. I'm assuming. I know I got at least one of those names right. I know I do.
Can you imagine just like...
That needs to be examined too.
Can you imagine just in that tussle, not really tussle, but in that like crowd of people, and you see Juwan Howard's arm reach across and smack in the face. Because you know he got big hands too. So you see a big old hair reach across and just mush you in the face, you're like, damn, like five people away. Like, how are you getting me? That'd be so wild.
And there's a coach on Michigan's staff that's the you know, when we talk about like old man strength, that is the strongest old black man I've ever seen in my life. He moved like four or five people at once, bro. And he didn't, his arms weren't extended, he was just walking forward. I was like, oh, he's, who is that? Please tell me that's like your strength and conditioning coach, because he is different. Don't tell me he's just like the analytics guy. Like, that's not who you want to mess with.
Analytics guy. He got lift weights to get his forearms right for the typing, you know what I mean?
Awful joke. Awful joke. True. Look, we got a couple other things to talk about. I don't know if we want to do it. Like,
no.
Your man DeMar DeRozan broke like a Wilt Chamberlain record, which is crazy. Luka had 49 before the All-Star break, which is Luka. State championships is rolling around for high school. That's what I'm excited about.
3 weeks till March Madness.
Who cares?
I do.
I know. That's why you on the podcast, college basketball nerd.
Look, did you say college nerd as if you weren't a high school basketball nerd, you nerd? That's like more nerd.
Yeah, that's why I call you guys nerds, because we're all nerds. That's why we're here. Come on, man.
I'm not a nerd.
Bro, you got a history degree. You are a nerd. Bro, the books you be posting, bro, I ain't never seen you read a book that got a dragon on the cover, but you're a nerd.
Hey, my books be fire though. If you reread them, you would know.
I don't want to read about oppression, my boy. Like, that's not what I got my degree in.
You don't want to read about what?
Oppression. Listen, it's not what I want to go through. I don't have the emotional, span for that.
Really?
Yeah, really. I told you this. You read the books, you tell me. Spark notes.
Whatever. I got a book right here, How Race Survived U.S. History.
Woo.
Ooh, boy. This, from settlement to slavery to the Obama phenomenon. Well, listen.
Phenomenon. Ooh, that sounds really bad.
Now, the guy who wrote this book, his name is David Roediger. He's one of the premier American studies professors in the United States. And he was on my committee for my master's. And he's good friends with Cornel West. So that's it. I'm done studying. Because I'm a nerd, right?
Yeah. But this is no longer a basketball discussion, so we're going to go ahead and sign out. Guys, thank you for watching this long, and I'm really sorry for disappointing you about talking about oppression and nerdy historical things. We'll do it again eventually. I am your host, Alan Perdigo Jr., signing off. You can go ahead and find us on every social media platform at Traveling Hoopers. Maybe there's an underscore or something there, but if you type it in, you'll pop up. It'll be this logo, you know, orange for basketball America, because we go everywhere. Traveling Hoopers, you get it now. Guys, go ahead and sign out for us.
Once again, I'm Calvin McGowan. It's always a pleasure to be here. You know, if you're joining us on YouTube, like, share, and subscribe and all that. And 3 weeks till March Madness, the best postseason in all of sports.
And I'm Philip Dixon, a.k.a. Mr. Oppression. And, you know, I'm just here doing my thing. Go to YouTube, look at my short film, Napkin. Follow us on Instagram at Brother Abe. And, you know, watch out, because I'm on my way.
You sound so depressing, bro. All that oppression.